Can you do a Jay impersonation?
Oh, it's I can't like do it on the spot. It's something that kind of organically, you know.
Yeah. I've heard these guys. It's actually solid. I'm giving them a credit. You run it into where it's like a Jay Chris kind of combo.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a New England thing, and I don't quite know how to. Know how to do it.
You kind of were getting into it a little. No, yeah. Yeah. Like right there. Yeah.
Yeah. We're selling t-shirts out of the garage,
you know,
pulling in $100,000, you know, $100,000 out of the garage. I mean, like, it's crazy. And these guys, they're ordering the shirts, and I go to the expos and I see the shirts, and I just, it's just awesome, you know.
But Jay, did you ever go to failure?
You know,
well, you know, I trained alone a lot, and you know, I had Eric there all those years. Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding. Big Ron Partlow here with Dusty Hanshaw and the producer, Scott McNally. Remember to like, share, subscribe, comment, and
ring the bell.
Ring the bell. I got my Pulp Fiction cup. This is nice. Some serious gourmet. We're good to go. Yes. Remember, IamMutant.com. Get your all in, get your isosurge, and everybody should get on the gear. Dusty 20, Big Ron 20, save money and support Mutant. They support the show. Born Hardcore, Patreon, Think Big Bodybuilding on Patreon.
Thank you, guys.
Keep the producer homed. Yes, and remember, even though none of us are wearing them, to go and click the link on, where did they click the link? On the Think Big YouTube channel?
Go to the description. Yeah, go to the description. Yeah, it'll be one of the first things. You'll see Mutant.
Click
you'll see
link.
The merch,
and you can buy a Think Big t-shirt or an It's Just Bodybuilding t-shirt, and we love seeing them. We love seeing them on people at the expos. It's awesome.
Yeah,
you go to an expo and someone walks up with an It's Just Bodybuilding shirt. That's just the coolest.
That makes
and we signed a bunch of them. We signed a bunch of them in Columbus.
We had we've had people tell me that they go to their gym and then they find out somebody else says, "Oh my God, you listen to the show too." And then they say, which programs do you like on Think Big? These people are, you know, ships passing in the night, not knowing what's actually playing in their headphones. And then, you know, we're bringing people together. They're finding each other.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really cool. And that's that, like kind of sense of community that, you know, you hope for, like, you know, you just start talking at a camera and then you like some kind of, just imagine like, 30 years ago, how ridiculously narcissistic we would think it would be to just talk at a camera and put it out on a video for everyone to like. You know what I mean?
You're welcome for my thoughts.
Yeah, you're welcome for my face and voice. Yeah. and now we do it all the time. But it's you hope for like a little bit of community. It's like when you open a gym, you hope that there'll be a bit of a community. You know, when you open any sort of business, you kind of hope you get a community with it. So it's a good plus, gentlemen.
Yes.
I'm just, you know, forcing myself to think positive on this Monday morning. Is it working?
I like it.
It's working.
So far.
It's working.
I know a lot of people have to do that charade from Monday morning till around noon. They have to just pretend as best they can, and then it gets rolling.
We record on Monday, guys, just to let you know.
Yeah.
And then the show gets out on Wednesday. So for them, it's the middle of the week. They are already long beyond that, and they're looking forward to the weekend.
They're already on hump day.
Yeah.
They know they're getting action tonight, right? When they get home from work, they know it's hump day. They know the missus knows it's hump day, or the mister knows it's hump day. Yeah, yeah. And I am also, like them, looking forward to Wednesday. So, you know, everyone's got that day. It just kind of works out. You know, like, just kind of works out well with everything. You just, we're both still awake at 9 p.m. You know?
That's amazing. That's a problem with you. These separate wake up times that ruins everything at your house.
Yeah, we have about an hour and a half. She's one of those weird people that likes to get up and drink coffee and watch the sun come up.
Ah, interesting. I know. I only have a time for that because we're timing photos with the sun now.
Oh, right. It's all about getting the back double to look its best. You're not staring at the sun. You're facing the opposite direction anyway. So. Yeah.
It's very – it actually made me laugh because – so I've got a client, and he's going to hear this, and I'm talking about him, which is fine. But a lot of clients, the pictures just – they suck. And I look at the pictures, and I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? So I laughed, Ron, when I came down the hall and Nikki was posing for you at the in Ohio. And you're like, your pictures look just like real life. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah. So let's touch on that. Her pictures and video were extremely accurate to how she looked. And that just confirmed to me we were doing everything right. And it's made the second half, or I guess would be the last, third of the prep, especially easy. Because I can rest assured that this is what she looks like. You know what I mean? And that's the main reason why everyone needs to work on their video. You know, like I'm just going to send Scott one picture. I won't give too much away.
All right.
I'm just going to send just a front relaxed.
While you send that, I'm going to put this up here. This is just a comment we got. Can we get Nikki Fit Mama on the show anytime soon? That's her Instagram, right, Dusty?
Yeah, I had that same question last night from someone else on my thing. She's like, what do we have to do? I'm like, she needs to win. She needs to win. And we'll talk. All right.
Yeah. Only champions. Only champions. No, but just did you get it?
No. What did you send us or Ron?
I got it.
Did you send it on text?
Text. Yeah.
For some reason, I'm not getting anything. I got the old pictures.
Oh, well, Trudeau has to let it across the border.
Yeah, that must be what it is. Oh, it came through on my computer. Here we go. Boom. Look at that.
So when I saw her in Vegas, I was like, oh, that's exactly how she looks in her pictures. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
That's a screenshot, by the way. I didn't even pause it. I just snapped it while it was rolling.
Yeah.
So that's a shot of a video, so it loses something. But yeah, when I'm like, oh, great lighting. Look, you can see the delts. See how the delts are, you see how hard the delts are and how they're tying in, and you can see the quads really well. And just people look at your photos. Do you look good in them?
Right.
You know, would you want your coach to post them? Would you want your coach to throw one up without your permission on his podcast to tens of thousands of people? You know, a bad screenshot of a video.
Do not edit them, because I've had before too. I got a picture that came, a whole set came through one time, and I couldn't see very well, so I opened the picture a little bit, and I'm like, I messaged him, I go, did you turn the grain up on this? He goes, yeah, it wasn't really showing very well. I'm like, this isn't what you look like.
They think that the grain, that just shows more of what was there.
Yeah, it's like
something literally changes the pixelation of the photo. It's like guessing, you know. It's funny.
Yep.
Listen, I'm going to move us along, because I know that our listeners want to know what our main topic was. And
see, Scott's good at knowing when Dusty and I have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, you guys know what you're talking about. I just felt there was probably going to be I'm always reading the crowd, even though I can't see them. And I know there's a handful of people.
Read the room.
Didn't you guys talk about this three times now? Are you going to lead through every show with this topic?
There's an extra touch on it, because it's important. But let's go to the first topic, which Dusty actually farmed us a good topic. So you sure did. Got it.
All right. There we go. I'm going to throw this one up on the screen here. It says, if you could change one thing about your approach to bodybuilding, or learn something that you did change and alter it earlier, what would it be?
This one's easy. I was way, way too stubborn, and I trained in way too much pain way too often. And I did it. I didn't listen to my body when I was young. I just trained through so many things that probably caused bigger issues later. Like, some of them didn't, right. I trained through sore elbows and my elbows are fine now, but I know now I shouldn't have been doing that. You know what I mean? Sore joints, tendons that hurt, exercises that don't feel right for you, but you think you're supposed to do them. So you just keep slamming them and progressing on them and getting heavier and heavier. no matter what. And, you know, so yeah, just, I was just way too stubborn, and I probably trained in the 6 to 8 rep range a little too often. I didn't need to. We know now that, you know, hypertrophy is more of a spectrum, but back then especially the first 15 years we trained, it was all about the 6 to 8 rep range to failure. if we did 12 reps on a set, it was like a high rep set. Like, you know, there wasn't any 20s on the leg press back in like the early days. It was all about the Dorian stuff. So just too stubborn with aches and pains and being, you know, just refusing to change.
That's a good
one. What about you, Scott?
Well, I was going to say, I think there's some middle ground in that because, Ron, I imagine that you were absolutely extreme with what you're talking about, you know, and I get it because I think we all did that.
No, yeah.
There's people now, I think, that are the opposite and that they, you know, that they are not pushing hard enough. And they're, I think that they're, I'm developing an imbalance between my traps and my deltoids. And so I need to do these three different warm up moves. And I'm trying to feel better activation before I get
into my, way too much of that,
you know? And so there is that, that middle ground where you were at that super extreme end where if you were to dial it back by a percentage, what percentage would you say you would dial it back at?
Like even just 5.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Cause it's
that's
probably
what I was getting at,
but it probably works like a curve. Like it probably gets worse the harder you, you know, so even if you come back 5%, you drop way down on that, like constant pain and agony scale. Like, you know, and other things too, is just management of the body. We weren't like now everyone's getting all this and massage all the time. And like Jay really pushed the massage. That was a big thing in the early 2000s with Cutler. He was all about this tissue work. And I, as a bodybuilder, I mean, other people might have heard it from other people and had been doing it because of other reasons. But to me, Jay was kind of the one that was like, ah, that level, if I want to be there, I got to. So I remember like Jay's videos. That's when I was like, oh, for this year's nationals, I'm booking 2 massages a week, the entire prep. I'm spending like thousands of dollars on massage. Yeah, I don't care. It's part of my prep. And I started doing that. Right. And that was because of Jay. But before that, you just kind of live in agony for the whole week until your next leg day.
Yeah.
Like you'd be sore for 4 days and then you'd just limp around and like, oh, getting into your truck. And you're just like, but if I could go back, I would have made myself do some like go roll around on a mat and do some stretching, you fucking idiot. Like, like try to like work on it. Just try to move that soreness out of you and get a massage. And you know, I don't know. Just, I don't know. You just sort of put up with it because you thought that was like, it was like almost like, oh, I'm a huge freak. This is how you live.
Yeah. You gotta be. Yeah. I would say, Dusty, that for me, it would have been getting to progressive overload faster. It took me recognizing that I this is my last chance. If I'm ever going to get to the strongest I've ever been, now is probably the best time because I'm only going to keep getting older. Right. And through that, I found a lot, you know, I started developing a lot more, like a lot faster in my 40s. Haven't been a guy who, by all accounts, you could consider would be like, you know, just an old beat up guy who's been training for a long time. You wouldn't expect that you'd make new progress. And then I did. And my joints felt better, you know, because I wasn't doing as much repetitive movement. I felt excited, you know, to train again. If I had found that a decade sooner to the level I took it, it would have been a game changer. So I'll say that. And the other thing would have been, when I moved back to Michigan to restart my life and I took a job at the pop company, I would have dumped that job and taken another one because it was a meaningless job. It's not like I was going to do something with it. And all it did was serve to beat my body up further. And all it did was serve to make me need to eat so many more calories to grow muscle. I should have taken a sit down job, you know? That'd be my
thoughts. Cost yourself a lot of money because you had to eat all that extra food.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say the thing that jumps to mind to me is I would paid more attention to the results that I got and the results I did not get from certain training. So for example, you know, you want to work for a long time. I know I have a lot of clients that will train a certain way for 3 weeks. Like, hey, can I get a new program? And I'm like, why? Well, I don't know, because their old coach used to do that. But I squatted for years and worked my way up to crazy poundages. And it should have registered at some point that my legs weren't getting bigger.
Like, you were strong as shit, man. I remember that one iForce video. You did 6 plates for 10 barbell.
Yeah. Like that, and like, that's a dude, prime example. Like it doesn't, if that's not clicking
in
your head
in like 2008, right? Like before,
if
Instagram,
it's not clicking it's like, in your mind that you're doing something like that, that's pretty asinine, and you don't have monstrous legs, that should tell you something, you know? And that was something I didn't do. Whereas other things grew drastically. So if I could rewind, it would just be to pay a little more attention to the things that were progressing really well, but weren't showing me the result I cared about. Cause I'm not a power lifter. That wasn't what I was doing. So there were years spent where I should have been on a Smith machine with my feet tucked under me going, you know, low and slow for 20 reps versus 10 with 600 on a squat, which was just working my hips and ass.
And giant erectors that are 6 inches deep at that point.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, is like with arms, it was the same thing, right? My triceps grew like crazy and I'm over here heaving barbells for curls and they're not growing. And I did the same thing for years. And it's like, when are you going to register that your arms are growing at a rapid pace, but it's only 2/3 of them that are growing? The other side, nothing. So those are things, yeah, I think people should pay attention to, but also understand, while I say that, we're not talking about train that way for 2 weeks and go, oh, I don't think this is working. But if you're a year in and you're seeing growth everywhere but somewhere, you need to look and go, okay, what am I doing? And reassess. That's all.
Yeah. I'm very convinced that a great basic way to train is simple progressive overload. And then if certain body parts aren't responding, obviously, you know, form execution, check all that. But that those are the body parts that get maybe more volume, because that worked for me. So like my arms, you know, I did the progressive overload. I, you know, put on, you know, 100 pounds and got to the national level and all that. And my arms just weren't quite keeping up. Like they were growing, mm-hmm, but just not like I was growing. And it wasn't until I finally just said, okay, I'm just going to see how many sets it takes to make my arm grow. And I started doing a lot more arm volume, and that's when my arms got to their biggest ever. And so just certain muscle groups, you got to like just figure it out, you know, being stubborn, mm-hmm, was a problem for me. Yeah.
It's hard though, I think, because so much of bodybuilding is kind of like overcoming, you know what I mean? And pushing through, it's hard to find that line of like, okay, well, where do I stop pushing through and pull back, yeah, you know, or when, yeah, do I try something different?
It's a real strange, you know, just think of like, in a way, bodybuilding is part of like the body augmentation culture, you know, like, you know, people just altering your body completely. Just think what a giant, mm-hmm, task, just like a giant weird task that is to embark on. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, you hear about those people that get fingers removed and stuff because they want to be like, yeah, you know what I mean? Or they, yeah, get like, you know, vampire teeth put into their jaw or whatever. Yeah. It's like, they get, it's those like, kind of like
things put in their head.
Yeah, horns stuff in their head, like these, yeah, the crazy body mods. It's like, well, you know, I'm kind of trying to become a superhero. Like, pretty much, you know?
Shouldn't judge. Sort of. Shouldn't judge.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's occurred to me many times, you know? So it's a funny thing. And it is just, there's so many little nuanced decisions you have to make.
What else we got, so Scott?
That's why we're here to help.
I was trying to find that neighbors video. I was looking for the video of Dusty squatting 600 while you guys were talking. I was going to sneak it like, in there.
Yeah, yeah. Those are throwbacks that no longer exist because that channel got closed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that wasn't. Yeah. So what year would that have been? Maybe was it 2010? But you were. It was a red
probably
squat
9,
rack.
10, 11. Yeah, in there.
Do you, yep, remember what gym that was?
Oh, I mean, I did it all the time, so not really.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, I'm thinking of a specific iForce video where you were squatting six plates. Oh. But I remember it was like an old red Icarian squat rack. I seem to remember.
Yeah, if it was, yeah, red, it was probably at a Metroflex that we had out there. So,
right.
Yep.
Yeah. I saw it back as far as like 6 years. And at that time, you were already on your newer program of using, yeah, like the pendulum and stuff like that. It looked like.
Mm. Yeah. Half a brain at that point. I had none, yeah, at the beginning. Never got to full.
All right. How about this one? What do you miss about competing and competitive bodybuilding overall?
Honestly, it would be just having, like, there's those moments when you're getting ready for a show and you look really crazy, like you're getting, you know, 3 weeks out, you just train chest and you go in the, you know, you go in the posing room and you crank out some shots or whatever in the locker room in the mirror and you just think, what the fuck have I done? Like, this looks crazy. Like those moments, you know, like we're really hard on ourselves and, you know, we think our calves suck and we need bigger triceps. And there's just that constant voice in your head that's just telling you, oh, these guys are way better than you. You don't have the talent for this. Like, but then you get those good, those really good moments where you just have a killer workout. You punch up like the 160 dumbbells for 10 and, you know, you're just, everyone in the gym is like, holy shit, you look ridiculous. And you're like, it's coming, you know? And then after your workout, you go and, you know, you take some pictures in the bathroom and you look at your back double and you're just like, shit, like this is crazy. And, and it's like those moments, 'cause they're just like, you know, no one else is judging you. They're just for you. And they're just sort of like, like I said, that cartoon character that you have in your head since you're a kid. And you get to a point where you're like, shit, I did it. Like, this is crazier than like the stuff that was drawn in like the superhero comic books. Like, look at my back double, you know, it's just, you know, you get those and they're not even stage photos, you know, because the stage photos to me, I'm so automatically critical of them.
Right.
Like stage photos, even if it's a great photo of me, I'm like, ah, my tan could have been a little bleh. You know, like, or I think the look on my face is a little goofier.
Right.
You know, it's like, we're just so critical of stage photos, but there's those moments when you're, you know, when you get out of the tan bed and you're looking at your quads and you're like, this is insane. Like,
right.
Like, you know, like if you cut your leg, you'd bleed to death. Like there's just a thousand veins everywhere and you're just,
Don't I'd drop a piece of paper. It's over.
It's, I don't know. I think, and then also just knowing that you're insanely strong and like, you know, I see guys do stuff now and I'm like, that would literally crush me. Like, and like, I feel like way more mortal. I'm still obviously way stronger than most people, but like just the mortality thing. Like, you know, I saw a guy squat 7 plates the other day and I'm like, oh shit. Like, like, I can't imagine backing that out of a rack. Are you kidding me? Like just an appreciation and a respect. And I was like, man, it was fun to be there for a while. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You can't stay there for your entire life, unfortunately.
No. And I'm totally fine with that. You know, totally fine with that. Race cars eventually crash or blow up or something, you know?
I feel like when you look back, one thing that you realize in hindsight is bodybuilding is one of the few, like I haven't found anything yet in life since where you have camaraderie, like a team around you, like from the very beginning. Like when I started bodybuilding all the way to the end, it was the memories with the training partners in the gym.
Yeah.
Going in there, meeting at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 10 p.m. Like whenever you could get to the gym, because I mean, we all were working and I get clients that say, oh, you know, you don't understand this, but you know, I can only go to the gym at 7 a.m. I'm like, don't understand this. I used to go at 4 because I worked at 7.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and meant I had to be there with all my food and the more, you know, there was a lot of stuff that went into it. But the things that I remember and really look back at are the people I had around me for the whole thing in the very beginning. And they changed, don't get me wrong, but there was always people in your corner. And then when you've trained at a gym long enough, and I know Ron can identify with this, the gym becomes part of your crew. Like when you come in, everyone knows, everyone wants to see you succeed. And in business and stuff, it's not that you're, you know, I mean, my friends want to see me succeed in things, but like there's nothing to watch. They're, you know, they have no idea when things are going well or when you're in a different, you know, stage of it. But one thing that I remember that was shocking was my first USAs, 2010. And I mean, I'm just going here trying to like, I wanted to make top 5. I was like, this would be a huge goal. And so many people from the gym were like, we're going to come watch you. And it was in Vegas, which is about 4.5 hours away. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And obviously I'm like, not expecting anyone to show up. And when I walked out, and the, I mean, it was so loud. And I realized after the show, because we got pictures, 56 people from my gym came.
That's crazy.
They drove to Vegas, got hotels. These aren't even like people I like hung out with all the time. Yeah. But that is something when you look back, you're like, I mean, it blew my mind. I mean, it was almost, I mean, here I was like the new guy. And without question, the loudest response when I walked out, and I'm like, oh, you know, so that was something that you just, you won't have in other things. And, you know, I know that we all talk about that the journey of bodybuilding is solo. The actual execution is, but I had a lot of people pushing me along, and it was really enjoyable because of that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I relate to that people thing. Mine wasn't that many, but my first show in Edmonton was 5 hour drive, and I went down to do the 97 Northerns. And at the night show, there was like 15 people there from my gym. A bunch of guys came down in a van.
That's awesome.
Like, they got a van. They did like a road trip. They came down that morning to make the night show.
Yeah.
And then everyone stayed overnight. But I was like, I got this picture of like me and like 15 people from Grand Prairie, like standing with me at the night show. It's just crazy.
That is cool. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Glad you won.
Great, great memories. What about you, Scott?
It's not even really the show itself. Everything else that goes with the competing.
The show's the last.
Yeah.
The show's like, I don't even remember half the competition days barely.
Yeah. I would say I really enjoyed the single-minded focus and the sense of satisfaction you get each day reaching those goals. And I can get that in other things. You know what I mean? Because I will say this on the negative side of it, when you get toward the end of a long prep, you're like, okay, I'm ready to get back to normal life because like I got to get things taken care of that I haven't been paying as much attention to. You only have so much energy, you know what I mean? But there is something pretty special about that single-minded focus of being able to put everything, all of your energies into this one project. And that's one of the things that I've absolutely loved about competing is being able to harness all of that. And then it taught me so much, you know, I know you guys get that too. It teaches you like life lessons that you can carry to other aspects. So I don't necessarily miss it a ton, you know, but it is something that I learned a lot from. And it's a very special experience that I don't know what else you can get it in, because you can be part of like a basketball team and you're still like going out to eat and doing the things you want to do when you're not playing basketball. But bodybuilding is that 24/7, every step I take, especially when you're getting really tired, you feel each step you take, you know, it's all leading toward this single-minded goal.
Yeah.
I got to throw one more thing in that Ron will get, which is 3 days before a show, hotel rooms with Chris Aceto. Just the memories of like the banter and thing. I mean, when I look back at shows, the only memories I have from shows that blow my mind are that
the hotel room stuff. Like,
just hanging out, you know, him moving you around the room, hitting 900 shots, you know, those kind of things. I just remembered, think, man, they were awesome.
I had a bunch of great, well, I had a few coaches, right? You know, and I got great hotel room memories with all of them. You know, I got one. I remember in 2007, I won the super heavies at nationals. And I remember I was like, I'd been second a few times, and I went to see Scott Abel in his hotel room, and I was running through my poses, and I was a little bit like I wasn't totally sure of myself. You know what I mean? Cause I'd been second the year before to Fuad, and it was really close, and Fuad was great. And I was just like, damn, it's gonna be another one. And I remember I was standing in my front relaxed, and you know, the coach can say the right thing at the right time to just like kind of put you at ease. And he called a front lat. He called a front lat spread, and I hit my front lat spread. And he's like, nobody's got that shot, dude. That's it. You're gonna win this. Yeah. Nobody's got that shot. And I was like, shit. And he had never said anything like that to me before. And I was like, oh, okay. So then, you know, went to the show with a little bit more confidence. He's like, it doesn't matter what poses we all hit or those guys, what you guys hit. Once you hit the front lat spread, you're just, it's too much. And I was like, oh, shit. And I just had that in my head as like a little bit extra, like, you know, and I remember all day. And I was against Ben that year. Bukulski was in my class. And he had those crazy legs, like crazy, ridiculous legs at that point, right? And that came down to one point between me and Ben. But I just kept thinking, oh, I'm gonna just give me the lat spread. That's all I need. You know what I mean? And it's just those those little things that you remember, you know?
Yeah.
So
the lat spread, the bear claws. I mean, all the things that Ron remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So okay. I have one here, and this is one I saved because I thought it would be absolutely perfect for the show. Best and worst fast foods for bodybuilding.
Oh,
nice.
So one thing that I have to admit, I have definitely macroed in my head and been totally okay with is I thought, well, I don't want to have a whole bunch of crappy carbs, right? And I don't want to order a bunch of fries that are deep fried in fat. I'm going to have to accept a certain amount of fat in this meal because it's fast food. So to just maximize my protein and not really, I don't really need carbs with this meal because it's going to have some fats in it. So I'm just going to go to Wendy's and get a lot of chicken tenders.
Okay.
I'm just going to get like two full orders of chicken tenders and that'll be good. I'll get more than enough carbs. I don't even need to have carbs with it. And I'll just eat these tenders and I'll feel good about myself. Yeah.
Yeah. See, Ron's speaking from better experience days, because first and foremost, if you're an up and coming bodybuilder trying to get huge and you haven't hit the McDonald's diet yet, you ain't ready.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't ready.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm staying shredded on chicken fingers.
Yeah. Like, these were like, There were years there where McDonald's was a daily stop, and I could justify the whole thing. It's like,
oh yeah,
well, I mean, there's protein and carbs and fats here, and it's not incorrect. It was just it's not inch your way up. It's just
there is protein, carbs, once
a
week
would have been fine, but maybe the multiple times a day got a little out of control.
Five times a week, I'd have fast food, man.
Yep. Yeah. Me too.
I always ate a ton, but I will say that my favorite place was Cafe Rio in Arizona. It was my go-to semi-healthy place to eat. And basically, it's just a much better quality Chipotle.
Okay.
Oh, and, right.
You know, yeah. So good. Shredded chicken, all that stuff, but plenty of extras. And I ate there every day after the coma until I moved. It was like, oh, so we better keep loading up here.
I think my probably the most eaten ever bodybuilding fast food meal is Subway fast food. Yeah, Subway's fast food.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't like Subway because there's no drive-thru. They're like, nah, it's not really fast food. You know, they think fast food's like pre-made. They got them in the rack, like burgers and stuff. But anyways, I probably had Subway like a double roast chicken. I'd get roast chicken, double meat.
Yep.
Foot-long roast chicken, double meat. Or now they have a rotisserie chicken. I'd start getting rotisserie chicken, double meat. I probably had that, like, I probably ordered that meal 2,000 or 3,000 times in the first 20 years I trained. I literally had Subway every single day for probably year on end.
You basically, like, you could have bought a Subway if you would have saved that money. Now you could turn around and buy one, is what you're saying.
Imagine if all that money was just Bitcoin. Damn it.
Yeah. You buy a bunch of Subways.
Yeah, like just probably, I probably ordered double roast chicken Subway like more than any other fast food meal in my life. I've had that meal. I had it every day for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the worst one now.
Well, I think like, anything that doesn't have a lot of protein in it, like, I mean, if we can call pizza, if that's kind of a fast food, then
pizza fast food though. I mean, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I guess you could do like the quick fire ones.
Ron,
I feel.
I just thought of something. I got to jump in because this has been on my mind. Pizza.
Uh-oh.
McDonald's used to have pizza. This is off topic.
Yes. Now, was that just in Canada or was that in the States?
Yeah, there's like very limited locations that ever had it here in the U.S. I actually,
but you guys had it.
I just saw like a 30-minute documentary on the McDonald's pizza of Canada.
Yeah, did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like one of those things I put on in the background while I was working and just kind of like.
Guess who's trialing pizza now? Chick-fil-A.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. So the McDonald's pizza, it definitely had its own taste. Like it had, like you get the pepperoni or the, they had Hawaiian pepperoni and three cheese, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember, but they had three types of pizza and they nothing else tasted like it. Like you had it, you're like, that it's McDonald's pizza. Like, you know how every single thing on their item tastes like McDonald's and nothing else? Like
yeah, their yeah, own, yeah.
Like plastic their has that effect.
Yeah, like, yeah. But like a McDonald's chicken nugget is unmistakable. You have a McDonald's nugget, you're like, that's McDonald's. You dip it in McDonald's barbecue sauce, you're like, that's McDonald's. That's how their pizza was. And it wasn't like, I remember McDonald's. Ordering it. Like we would go to, we had a 24-hour McDonald's where I grew up. So me and the boys would go out, you know, you're driving around in the truck, listening to hair metal, stopping by the corner store to see if any chicks are going to a party. Like literally that's my high school. Right. And, I'm drinking Diet Cokes, right. I'm drinking Diet Cokes and looking for parties. And, if you get hungry at the boys, you stop by McDonald's at midnight and you get a pizza. Dang. And you know, yeah, and we would do that. And I think it was technically a flop, wasn't it? Like, because it wasn't on the menu for long, so I think it was actually a flop.
Victoria said they had it at their school. Like there'd be one special day in her elementary school where they brought McDonald's pizza.
Yeah,
was it? And like I remember smaller one, or is it like a big pizza?
It was an individual, but I'm not sure they might have. Yeah, but I remember. I saw a business documentary and they're talking about bad decisions.
Yeah.
And they had this guy on, and he's like, yeah, McDonald's deciding to make a pizza was, I thought it was crazy because they're in the fast food business. And when they added pizza to their menu, I was like, oh, they've now left the fast food business. That's ridiculous. They don't know what they're doing. This is out of their lane. They're fast food. This is not fast food. This takes 10 minutes.
That's
business model. That's going to screw everything up.
That's what the problem was in the documentary I watched too, was the amount of time it took to get the pizza ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So Dusty,
your friends are already done eating, right?
Yeah. Valid. What about, what about something like Taco Bell? Yay or nay for bodybuilding?
See, I would have still yayed it, even though it's not actually meat, because I could justify anything.
Because you like it.
But I think you've probably made a valid point though. Because I was going to say that, or I used to eat a lot of Chinese food, like Panda Express. And I know there's a lot of like protein in there, but let's be straight. When you get a orange chicken, there ain't much chicken in that orange chicken. That's just fried breading with sugar sauce on the outside.
Delicious.
I'm actually probably going to get some immediately after this, but, but I think those are my two that I would say would be Taco Bell, because you're right. I mean, anyone who's ever seen Taco Bell's beef being made probably wouldn't eat it ever again. And, I love you so much, Panda Express. I also made a lot of life decisions based on those cookies. So we're good. Explains a lot, doesn't it? should I or what the hell?
Yeah. Well, the Subway cookies, I didn't mention those, but there was three Subway cookies. There was three Subway cookies with every single one of those subs. I guarantee that. There was no.
You guys ever have the Chick-fil-A cookie?
I have
Chick-fil-A's chocolate chip cookie. Don't do it. I mean,
one of those.
You're recovering still, Scott. That could be a problem.
Yes. Yeah. They didn't have them at the Arnold Expo. Apparently that's the only place that I actually go to Chick-fil-A, because any other time when I drive by, the line is too long. There is no way. There is absolutely no way that I'm going to get in a fast food line that wraps around the building.
You have to understand, though. No. The way they operate that line, they could handle the world. It is unbelievably efficient. I don't know what's going on in those places. It's a fake line. But I mean, boom. Probably fake lights.
Nightclub.
Fake. I mean, literally, you bone through that line so quickly. It splits into dual lanes, comes around the corner. They're coming out. Dusty, here you go. Get them out of here.
Optical.
Boom. It probably is.
Yeah.
You actually drive through a lot of those cars because they're just, not actually there.
Right.
Fake cars.
No. It's like a nightclub. They just want to make it look busy, right?
Well, that was an important question I had to ask you guys. And I had one other thing I wanted to throw up here, and this is mostly for Ron. I wanted to see his reaction to it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's as early as it gets. That's like,
what are we looking at here?
Kill 'em All. Well, you're looking at Metallica, like circa 83, 84. I would 85 say
85 is what I read.
85, yeah, because yeah. Cliff died in 85, so Cliff it could be 85 at the latest. I'm just thinking Lars hairs looks pretty short, so I thought it might be a little earlier, but yeah, that's Metallica. Might even be Master of Puppets tour. If it says 85 on it, then it's the Master Puppets tour. And Cliff probably died very shortly after this photo if it's taken in 85, and that's probably the bus that they crashed in.
I was just thinking that. Damn.
Yeah, that's probably the bus. I mean, right?
That bus is amazing. So, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cliff is the guy on the right with the black sleeves and the denim vest. That's probably the most influential bass player in metal history.
And he died that young. Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. 25 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Why does he look like he's 16?
That's they all look bonkers. Like they're about 16 and a half right there.
Like, I wouldn't let any of those kids drive, except for the kid in the far left. He could drive. the rest of them, I'm like, nah, you stole your mom's car.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the book, it's Life, School, Metallica, Death. That's the name of the book I read. And James tells the story of the bus crash, and like they all like wake up, like they're sleeping in their bunks, and the bus crashes, and they get thrown out of the bus. Like James wakes up in the ditch, like he like sits up and like he's in the ditch, and the bus is like on its side, and fucking everything is mattresses and pillows are just everywhere. Like it's a crash, and they're yelling names. They're like Lars, and Lars is like, I'm here, like literally like out of a movie, and then they all like gather and they're like, where's Cliff? And they look down, his legs are sticking out from under the bus.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're lucky it wasn't more of them, you know, from the
could have been all of them.
Yeah.
I think the bus driver died too.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on that.
Yeah. Thrown clear.
Got one here from Patreon. This is from Jim. Jim always gives us some good questions. He says, it's just bodybuilding. What do y'all think of protein foods that normally aren't protein foods? For example, protein pancakes. Seems like a regular food that they just added whey to. Couldn't you just drink a shake like Dusty recommends you do before eating a pizza or a cheat meal?
Well, technically he's right. I mean, if the macros were the same, then it's technically the same at the end of the day. We've talked about how I just love a good cookie. I don't need it to have protein in it. I don't need protein to be in my cookie for me to feel okay about eating it, because I know I get enough protein in my day no matter what. Yeah. So I guess if someone's really, the benefit is if someone's really, really, really trying to be tight with macros and live like a lifestyle type thing, then maybe it somehow, you know, makes their math easier for the day to have a protein cookie. But I'm totally fine without any of that stuff.
I think the only thing, because he specifically said it, like a true protein pancake is oatmeal, protein powder, egg whites. So it is actually exactly what you'd be eating anyway. So that one is one of the few where I'm like, it makes sense to me and it tastes good. I'm with Ron and the other things are like, anytime I see a company, oh, we got this great protein pizza. I'm like, it's not great. Number one, it's expensive. Number two, it does not taste like this pizza at all. And you've lost me right there. Or these cookies, these brownies. I'm like, eat a brownie, don't eat a brownie. Those are the real lines to me. Because when you're bodybuilding, those things aren't an option at a certain time of year. So it's not even a thought. And if you are someone who's working on a lifestyle, part of working on a lifestyle is understanding that it's actually not hardcore to never eat anything. To me, that's actually a sign of weakness, because you can't eat anything or you'll go off the wagon. Truly being hardcore is being able to control yourself and saying, I'm having a cookie today with this meal and I'll be fine and I'll be on my diet tomorrow. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of people who, you know, tout their horns on being super hardcore with things, it's actually a sign of weakness. If you have to eat perfect 7 days a week or you'll lose your mind, I think you're off a little bit. So you're better off to not eat the crappy cookie that has protein in it. Save that for the day that you have your treat meal. And take my advice. Go to the drive-thru. It's not imaginary, but it's very fast at Chick-fil-A. And get those cookies, Scott.
I'll have to try it. I'll have to go there. I'll have to drag Victoria along. It'll be like on our
day or something. They have a six-pack. I mean, think about that. Just saying. It's not cheap, though.
So one thing I'll add is I think a lot of times those like protein enriched foods, I bet with the pancakes, he's talking about those Kodiak cakes where they they're protein pancakes. They don't taste as good as the regular pancakes. And then they have a pea protein in it. I think it's a pea concentrate. A lot of the proteins aren't going to be as good quality as like getting a high quality whey isolate is, you know?
Right. Right. True. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't need it.
I think it was like, there were like these Myoplex brownies that they had at Walmart. And when I worked for the pop company, the directions on it, it said you could heat it up in the microwave for 10 seconds. And I can't remember what kind of protein it had in it, but I would eat one of these things and they were so freaking delicious. And then I would just have the worst gas for like 3 hours. Just the worst. It wasn't even like the smelly gas. It was just like a lot of it. Just like you just wouldn't stop. This gas just kept coming. But guess what? I'd go back and I'd get another one the next day. I did that for like 2 months. I was like, I don't care. Like,
I drive alone. I drive alone. Who cares?
Yeah. And I remember when all like the zero carb stuff started coming out with all the sugar alcohols in it.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
Oh, and, that's and, the worst. You know, we started having I don't know, what was the first no carb bar? Like before Quest, like, I don't know, like way back. But I remember
was
like
the first one that tasted okay, you know?
Yeah. No, Quest was like the chocolate chip cookie dough was like, I was like, oh, like these are good.
Atkins was the ones that made the bar.
Yeah. All the Atkins stuff that came out. Yeah. 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 I remember like eating a whole box of Atkins bars one night. That's so funny. You can even see the logo now that you reminded me. I ate a whole box and they were really small. They weren't big.
So they're
tiny.
These bars.
Really small little bars. They're like, you know, 100 calorie bars, right? Kind of targeted at women, right? This 100 calorie treat. And I ate a whole box of those.
Not when you ate 20 of them.
Oh, man. Like, I remember just being in the bathroom and just thinking, oh my God, what have I put in my body? Like, what did I put in my body? Like, this is
would
not
have been safer to eat the wrapper than what was inside.
What am I, 30 years old at that point? I'd never seen anything like that happen to myself. It's like, oh my God.
That's saying a lot considering the life he lived before that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember, here's a funny story. I'll just say a close friend. I won't throw him under the bus, but he's very successful. He's very successful. Let's say he's a very renowned profession, very looked up to in his life.
Dusty Henshaw.
And Dusty Henshaw. Yeah,
no, you lost it. The renown and profession.
He actually told me the only two people who know this story are his wife and me.
Dang.
So I won't say his name, but he said they were in the States on a holiday and it was when Baked or Lay's,
so that means
first
he's
made. Yeah. Oh wait, yeah. So I think it was the Lay's or Ruffles. I can't remember, but they came out with this this new potato chip that was fried in oleic acid. Is that oleic? Is it oleic acid? Is that what it's called?
I can't remember what it is, but I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, and it's a synthetic fat that doesn't digest, so it just passes through your body, and the FDA approved it. And he's going to look it up. Scott's going to look it up. I think it's called oleic acid for some reason. But anyways, it's a fat substitute that was, I don't know if it's still approved, but it was approved. And Lay's or Ruffles or somebody came out with this. So it's a fat-free chip, but it's still fried.
Right.
So it's crunchy, tastes like a normal chip, but the fat just goes right through your body. He eats a whole bag of them. He shits the bed that night. Oh. He's like 40-year-old millionaire at this point. And he's in bed with his wife, 40-year-old self-made millionaire, shits the bed. He's humiliated. He's like, oh my God, I wake up and I've shit the bed. His stomach. Yeah. Olestra. Yeah.
fat adds substitute no calories. Made from sucrose and vegetable oil.
So Olestra is the brand name of it, but there's also a chemical name for it too, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can see that anywhere, but
that's amazing. He said,
and then he said that he told he asked somebody about it. He's like, yeah, that Olestra stuff, like, man, I don't know if that's good for you. And they said, oh yeah, make sure you don't ever eat a whole bag of those. And he was just like, I already did that.
I remember at the Arnold, and Skip's told this story on the podcast, so I can say it, but it was when Best Bar Ever, they had all the Whole Food bars, right? And they were like shelf, they were refrigeratable and stuff like that. And because they were made out of like actual foods that would go bad. They got a deal with like Rite Aid and stuff, and they made this shelf stable bar, and they launched it at the Arnold, and Skip was just eating bar after bar. And at one point, Mike Clay, the owner, was like, how many of those bars did you eat, Skip? He's got to get that Southern accent. Skip's like, oh, like 8 of them. And his face, he said, well,
he panicked immediately.
He said, I've never known anybody who ate 8 of them. And it's all this like non-soluble fiber in these bars. And needless to say, a couple hours later, we're walking around and he's like, I got to find the bathroom. I got to get to the bathroom now. And of course, we're in the expo, so he had to find a bathroom in there. And
oh god,
me and someone else are just waiting outside of the bathroom for like 10 minutes. When finally, we're like, ah, we'll catch up with Skip later.
Just leave him there. It's over. Yeah, might never see Skip again.
Yeah. Man, worst place. Oh. Imagine that at the expo.
Oh, just dude.
Yeah. Dying in the dirtiest bathroom in the history of the world, which, by the way, Arnold UK bathrooms, flawless.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're English people. They've got good manners over there. That's the difference.
Good work.
I was shocked. There was always soap.
Yeah.
Hands-free, always soap, drying hand washing.
I have to say, I don't know if it's just my experience because I'm such a vet, but at the Arnold Classic, in Ohio, and I have... You know, everyone knows my rants about the bathrooms there in the past.
Yeah.
But I had a bit of a digestive situation at the Arnold this year.
And I remember.
I had to find a bathroom. I said to Dusty, I'm going to have to leave the booth here for a little while. And so I left the expo and I went into the hotel a little bit, like, and then found a bathroom in there. Nice and clean. Yeah, yeah.
Quiet, you know,
nice.
Quiet.
Yeah. No one in there, just all to myself.
Quiet till he got there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You got to put in the effort.
Glad it worked out for him all three times. Anyways.
Yeah. What's next, buddy?
Well, you brought us a physique critique, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nate.
Nate. Let me.
Who's he on Instagram?
Let's start pulling these pictures up here. Let's see. So here's a front lat.
So this is Nate Lift 8.
Nate Lift 8.
I got to say, you know, I've had multiple people send me messages on Instagram saying, hey, would you critique my physique on the show? And I got to admit, a lot of times I mean to save the message and then I look and I just simply can't find it again. I'm like, gosh, shit, I can't remember who sent me those pictures.
It's tough to remember.
It gets a little chaotic. I think I put it on unread and maybe I didn't. And yeah, so anyways, however, Nate, I actually realized I had missed his message completely from a couple months ago. So I figured we'd give him a look.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Nate Lift 8 off Instagram. So this is him currently.
Okay.
So he said he's about 260 pounds in these photos.
Okay.
That gives you an idea.
I'll throw the side leg.
Oh, no,
up
no.
Too
no, sorry. Second. Sorry, sorry.
The side.
Oh, yeah.
Side
260
chest.
Now, yeah.
So these are the currents at around 260.
Big dude.
No, wait a minute here.
Don't be lying.
Oh, sorry. No, these photos are, he's 237 in these photos.
Okay. Still a big
dude. He's 237, been on TRT for a while. He's about to start a blast.
All right.
And he's only 237 here. These were from January. And he's saying now he's hit 260 because I missed this message. This is from January.
Oh, okay.
So, there we go.
So I'm going to assume he's a little fatter because he just had a blast. He better have been eating.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a really good 237, though.
Yeah, good 237. Now let's see. I know I sent you a couple of shots where he looks like he's dieted down a lot more off his Instagram.
I'm not sure
what he weighs, but just to give people an idea, we'll show what he looks like, you know, kind of dialed in. So there he is there, dialed in. Look at Scott throwing shit up. Boom.
There's a back shot.
Yeah. So he gets pretty lean. The hands are dug right out. He got some striations on the glutes. Looks like he could, you know, pull the condition in a tad on the glutes, a few more pounds, but I'm not sure how many weeks out that photo was. It looks good.
Right.
What do you think?
I mean, the tricky thing with someone who's at this level for me is we're not going to tell him anything he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And that's the you know, so this is more when I like to critique these. For example, here's something that I like to point out when you look at a picture like these. Look at his rear lat spread in this picture that we got on the screen. Then if you think of the one that Scott just had up in condition, you realize that there's a lot more depth to his back than you would think looking at him in the off season. But that said, that's a one area that I think he could definitely get some more depth in, more 3D. Tail in there, because he's sliced there in the back at least, and I can still see there's not a lot of separation between muscle groups in there. There's not a lot of depth in that shot, and that light doesn't get much better. So I would definitely spend a lot of time working on thickness, because the width is phenomenal. When he hits his rear double,
good
other pictures, you could see that as well. Like there can be, you know, quite a bit more added in there. That said, obviously the current pictures, the more current are the off season. So maybe that's something he's already working on there.
Yeah. I mean, he's done really well. He got a great physique. He's been ripped. That ab thigh looked good. I mean, he looked really good in the ab thigh. He had a nice aesthetic look in the front, good quads and stuff like that. But I think to take his physique to the next level, he needs, you know, just size everywhere, like just thicker, you know what I mean? Like bigger arms, you know, thicker back, like Dusty said, you know, more quads. I think he's probably, if he's, you know, built like this, he's probably really strong and probably trains really hard. Like, you know, these guys don't look like this unless you're like moving some weight and training hard.
Yeah.
So I think maybe my advice to him, like you said, Dusty, there's nothing we can tell him he doesn't already know, right? Like, we're not going to teach him how to do a row. But I would just say, just really focus on trying to make everything that you're doing in the gym as quality as possible. You've already moved a shit ton of weights. You've already done a lot of bodybuilding. Just double down on making sure everything is you know, controlled and you're getting the most out of every set and that sort of thing. There might be a little bit of room there where you can pull a little more efficiency out of your sets. But yeah, the physique is on its way. It's just a matter of
There's nothing time. nothing blatantly missing. You know what I mean?
No, like, it's right. Like he has no delts.
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, is there anything, and I was going to ask you guys if there was anything that stood out to you to say like, hey, he should work on X body part, but
well, with his quads from the front on that lat spread, the one thing I would definitely say is, and I say this from experience, when you don't have a lot of quad sweep, get your adductor and hamstrings as big as possible, and that will help the size that your legs look like from the front.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to, like, and this is something that people get confused on, like, he's not going to suddenly have wacky quad sweep. You know, and again, I say that from experience. That was my legs. It's like, you know, and I guarantee you his legs are bigger than you would think if you measured them. Because the way he carries it, it's just when you have sweep, things look drastically larger because they're sweeping in and out. You know what I mean? But he can definitely just continue. And he's got good adductors, but I would just keep jamming him to the point where they get ridiculous. It's something that Dante hammered on me. And it definitely helped, particularly from the back, because look how, when his hams are carved up the way they get, imagine just a little more thickness in that adductor, just how much wackier they would get.
Yeah, I could see that.
And then the side shots that you put up for a second there, he's not showing the hamstrings that he has.
Yeah, I'm trying to get back to that one.
Yeah, if you can pull that shot up, you'll see, like, his hamstrings are much better than that. That posing needs adjusted, and a good posing coach can put 3 inches on his legs in 5 minutes.
Hmm. I would twist that side chest more too, and bring it, you know, square it out more.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's posing small, which is something that a lot of people do. I don't know what that is. Like, you are much bigger than you appear in that photo. Hmm. So like Ron said, you know, twist that upper body to where it's damn near a most muscular from the shoulders across the top. And then he needs to hook that hamstring under the leg behind it better, so it drops.
Yeah.
Because he's got hams for days. I saw them. They're corded out of control.
Tom Platz.
Awesome physique, man.
Tom Platz had incredible legs overall. But when I try to talk to people about adductors, I like to pull this picture up. And then I'll take my hand and cover up that adductor and say, how big would his leg look by comparison without all of that adductor? The adductor, I mean, he's got a crazy sweep. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's like so much of that leg is his inner thigh, you know?
I just love that his inner thigh touches almost to his knees.
Right?
Because let's all pay attention to the fact that his calves are also almost touching. So yeah. That's how much that is there. Yeah. I hate him. Anyways, I hate everyone that's better than me. And that's a lot of people.
I think that was about all we had. We had a couple like leading topic type questions left. That we could potentially save for another show. Do we have anything that we want to finish on? Any stories about any like Olympians that had offered you guys fish at any point that you turned down, or
no one would ever turn down fish from an Olympian, especially a Mr. Olympia. That's just not going to happen.
I actually had a listener. Her name's Pawan. She came up to me at the show on the weekend.
Yeah.
And we had a show this weekend, and she comes up to me and she's like, I can't believe you didn't eat Dorian's salmon.
I love her.
She's great. Just like, she's great.
Yeah.
If she's the person I'm so thinking funny. Of, then she's
yeah, like, yeah.
She shares her stories and shares her show and stuff all the time. She's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, and I just
share,
was like, oh,
share that moment with Ron. I mean, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I knew you.
I know. It was like
I'm glad, almost I'm as glad bad I didn't as hear that story before I hired you, because I probably
it's like that.
Enough.
It's like that moment you see, you know, where the girl's like, "Why don't you come up for a coffee?" And George is like, "No, I don't drink coffee at night. I can't sleep." She's like, "No, you
that's
should really
exactly
come up for
what that is.
Come up for a coffee." It's like, "Nah, I don't. That's okay. Go have coffee. I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you though. Thank you very much."
Seems crazy. It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Then he's like kicking himself. I should have had her coffee. Oh.
Oh, that's amazing.
Not
that's
quite the same, but in that same, you know, regret. I didn't accept this gift from this person.
Yeah.
Listen, there should be higher regret. There's plenty of girls offering you to go up to their room for coffee.
Right.
There's only
but
one.
Dorian
Mr.
will never
Olympia
offer
offering.
Me salmon again.
No, you missed the boat on
Ronnie
that.
Ronnie hears that story. Dorian. He's not giving it to you. Jay's not going to give it to you. No one's giving you the salmon anymore.
I want to ask you guys one thing. There's a few people, I've seen some comments on the video and now on the reel. There's a few people that are very upset that we said that Jay trained to failure a bit.
Oh, did they?
Oh, I saw that.
Did they?
His face is not even grimacing.
She's not spotting him. He just has her there to be in the video with him. That's his wife. He's just trying to include her. She's not really spotting him. It's like it's crazy to be upset about that. First of all, I can't believe that some people are like, you know, kind of, you guys are wrong. The one guy was like, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that now. This is very interesting.
There's several.
There's a lot of people
out there. I don't mean to quote anybody.
Right. There's a lot of people out there though, that it really hurts their brain to think about Jay potentially ever training to failure. He never did. Yeah. It's like my mom or my grandma.
You don't think Jay ever did a set and failed to get a rep ever?
My grandma loved Elvis. She absolutely loved Elvis. And I had seen something about Elvis, a documentary, and they had talked about how he actually at times shot his television set. Like, this is a known fact that he did this. And I said to my grandma, I was like, yeah, I heard that, you know, blah, 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 grandma, that he would shoot his TV. And my grandma said, she said, Elvis would never do that. Flat out. That's what I'm having a flashback to that conversation right now.
Like, it's actually documented. Like, the police were called once.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
never happened.
Never do it.
That was his crazy ex-wife. It's why he left her in the first place.
Bruce Springsteen even has a song lyric. You know, he buys a gun and, just like Elvis, blasts his TV set with it.
Never.
It's funny. You know, never,
Bruce Springsteen's even, like, also never. A liar, just like
Bruce Scott Springsteen's lying.
That's kind of the vibe I got, though. It upsets people.
Anyways, I don't mean to make fun of anybody. I don't mean to make fun of anybody. You know, we're just making funny voices when we quote them, but Dusty does. But
blame it all on Dusty.
But hey, so what? It's like, failure isn't Carrie having to, like, lift the bar off his chest. That's not failure.
Failure. You need 3 pounds of help to get it.
Even 3 pounds of help is a forced rep. Like,
yeah.
So when she puts her hands on his elbows in that video and her biceps engage, she's now spotting him. Like, sorry. It's like, if someone touches you the bar, you don't get credit for the rep. Like, I can't give you the rep. So, yeah. I think there's some failure sets in that video. I think there's some failure sets. There's a couple of reps where the dumbbells wouldn't.
Elvis never shot his television.
Never shot his TV. Yeah. And Elvis didn't die on the toilet.
No. Actually, if you asked my grandma, he was still alive.
Really? Is he in Argentina with Hitler?
Nah, I think he was in Kalamazoo, last I heard.
Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's got a farm.
Yeah.
Oh, grandma, okay. I love you.
She was the best.
Okay, well, we love all the comments, even the ones that seem upset at us. We love them. They're actually great for the algorithm, so you guys can go ahead and fight amongst yourselves in the comments if you want. Yeah,
we still.
And here's the thing: we can still be friends if we don't agree.
Yeah,
Jay going to failure or not? I truly mean that. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I like that. Yeah. Did you say let's joke it out?
Next time I talk to Jay, I'm gonna say, hey, were there any sets that you gave you forced reps on?
I wish I could do a Jay impersonation. If he, you know, he'd just be like, nah.
I think Ron's got one.
No,
Ron's
never
got a good one.
Never. Yeah, you. Well, how would you? Can you do a Jay impersonation?
Oh, it's like, can't like do it on the spot. It's something that kind of organically, you know. Yeah.
I've heard these guys. It's actually solid. I'm giving him a credit. You're running into where it's like a Jay Chris kind of combo.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a New England thing, and I don't quite know how to do it.
You kind of were getting into it a little. No, yeah, you're like right there. Yeah.
When we're selling t-shirts out of the garage.
You know,
pulling in $100,000, you know, $100,000 out of the garage. I mean, like, it's crazy. And these guys, they're ordering the shirts, and I go to the expos and I see the shirts, and I just, it's just awesome, you know.
But Jay, did you ever go to failure?
You know.
Well, you know, I trained alone a lot, and you know, I had Eric there all those years.
Sorry,
that's so good.
I just saw Jay. We had Jay here for a minute.
You trained alone a lot. I'm like, there it is.
I know. It was like the line too. That was good.
You should have absolutely thrown in a yes, just so we could have won. Because now we've lost.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Get together, Scott.
I'm glad I made you guys laugh. I was feeling like I wasn't contributing today, and I did my part.
Came through at the end.
That's good.
5 minute crew. That one's for the hashtag last 5 minute crew. So that's for them.
That's right.
Let's wrap it up here. Okay, everyone. Remember, like, share, subscribe, comment, and
ring the bell.
I was going to put some Elvis on the end, but I kind of backed out at the last minute.
Yeah.
Remember, iammutant.com. Go to iammutant.com, get your ISOSurge, get your all in, and everyone should get on the gear. And don't forget the new Mind FK.
FK.
You say it however you want. Check it out. I have to say, I took a half a scoop yesterday before I went to ride my little bike.
Your little bike. Yeah,
and I was expecting to suck because it's been almost 2 weeks because I was traveling and stuff.
Yeah,
And I actually had a great session. I like pulled all my tricks right away, got to practice some other stuff. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that was it. So we'll see. I'll give it some time.
I watched the day I took it, after we did the show, I went to the range to do some practicing, and I was very on the ball with it. Like, I felt
tight bundles, clustered.
Yeah, it's good. It was quick.
You pull the sheet in, there's just one hole.
Yeah.
All your bullets went through the same hole. Yeah.
Well, I hate to point this out and trump you both, but I came to this podcast prepared for the first time, and I used it today.
Whoa.
Wow. That's why you were organized. You were
Dusty
organized.
Brought, sent Dusty you ideas.
Today. Yeah.
So there you go. Okay. It'll change your whole life, apparently.
Okay. So. And thanks for all the continued comments on the Expo, Arnold Classic Expo videos. Nothing but great feedback. People coming up to me saying they loved all the Expo videos.
That's cool.
Even the ones that were kind of short and cut off, like the Clarita one got kind of cut off suddenly. And they said they just loved how raw it was, and it went really well. So like I said, we're gonna lobby Mutant to maybe do the same thing for the UK.
That would be so awesome. I would love to do that. And apparently we've got people there that know who I am. So I want to hang out with them.
Yeah, you were missed.
I want to hang out with those people. Missed.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Dusty. Thanks, Scott. And remember, it's just bodybuilding.